on account of, well, that thing called accountability. It's the news. According to me. Well, good morning. It is morning, and it is 11:38, December 13th, on a Tuesday. There was no show on Monday, for those of you who were maybe thinking that they just missed the show or couldn't find it. There was no show. So I was a no-show on Monday. I am in Atlanta. I've been in Atlanta since Saturday. I've been working the late shift here. I got done about 2:30 in the morning, Sunday morning. And Sunday night wasn't quite as bad. We got done a little bit earlier. And last night we even got done a little bit earlier. It was just a little bit after midnight last night we got done. So I was actually able to kind of get up. But I'm still kind of dragging from all the strange sleep, trying to recover from all that. However, that has not affected what is in my cup. And what I have in my cup right now is some Dunkin' Donuts sweet tea. Dunkin' Donuts has pretty good sweet tea. It's not too bad. Their ice is a little bit weird, but the tea itself is okay. The flavor is good. I had some tea last night where did I eat last night? Oh, yeah, no, it was yesterday. Yesterday at Waffle House. Kind of strange. The Waffle House tea is very unpredictable, at least at the Waffle House that I tend to go to. There's another Waffle House here close by that I might end up going to try it out, see what's there. But the Waffle House that I go to down the street here, it's a little bit further away. It seems like it's a little bit cleaner, a little bit more organized. It's not quite as busy either, which is maybe that's why they're maybe off the little beaten path a little bit. The other one's right next to a highway, a major highway where people get off and go there, I think. That one's a couple blocks away. It's actually about a half mile away. And I like to walk anyway. That's why I went down there. Well, I went down there really originally because there was another restaurant beside it that happened to be closed, and I decided just to go to the Waffle House. But went down to the Waffle House and got some tea. Now, the tea there yesterday tasted like coffee almost. It had like a coffee flavor to it. Sometimes places will do that. They'll heat the water up through the coffee machine, or they'll make the tea in the coffee machine, and they will not scrub the coffee out of the filter holder. And then the tea ends up tasting like coffee, which I don't, I'm not a coffee guy. I don't like coffee. I know that's weird, but I've never liked it. I like the smell of it. I don't like drinking it. Never have. And my wife doesn't either. Neither one of us, we're not coffee drinkers. And our parents were, everybody in our family does, but we just don't. So what's interesting, however, is the tea at Dunkin' Donut is pretty consistent. It's pretty good. And that's what I have this morning. I went for a run and I tripped and fell into a Dunkin' Donut, so I had to get a sandwich. I have to understand it's almost lunchtime here now, so I was kind of decided to get a sandwich. I hadn't had any breakfast yet, so I have plans later to go to. I go in a little bit later today. I don't have quite as many responsibilities today. I just have to kind of show up and do my thing and be done with it. I don't really have any like major responsibilities. So it's all up to the people I've trained to do their job now, and I'm just kind of observing that process. And then tomorrow, same thing. Kind of even, I have a little bit more responsibility tomorrow, but it's a much easier day. Then I'll be off to Dallas, Texas for a day, and then hopefully back home on Thursday night. And that's the plan. I head out from Atlanta here, go to Dallas, Texas on Thursday morning, and then I end up at home on Thursday night. There's my story. That's my whole story. So what's going on in the news right now? There's there's just so much stuff that's all kind of connected to each other. The Twitter stuff is interesting, and it actually is kind of related to the other stuff that's going on with the FBI. With some things overseas as well, even some of the Ukrainian things that are happening. There's just a lot of ties here that all kind of tie together, and it's egregious. Now the left, of course, is passing this off. You'll only hear about this really. It's the real scandal is only being reported on Fox News. You're not hearing anything about it on, of course, not Elon Musk is in the middle of this whole thing. They're vilifying him, Jean-Pierre. Karine Jean-Pierre, whatever her name is, I don't know. And she has basically been passing this off as, oh, it's not a big deal. And now Elon Musk is being dangerous in his attacks on Anthony Fauci. Of course, this all ties into COVID as well, because of what was being done with COVID and the censoring that was happening with Twitter. And Elon Musk apparently knows a little bit more than he's talking about right now, because he actually he had this joke. He tweeted something about his pronouns are prosecute / Fauci. He's got it in for Fauci, and that's not normal. that's a very tough stance to take, very hard line stance to take, to say something like that. My bet is that not only does Musk disagree with Fauci on some things, but he realizes what he has done, and he probably sees the Twitter frenzy behind this, you know, somehow they're getting this information, all the stuff that happened at Twitter prior to all these events happening. My guess is there are probably some ex-Twitter people who are pooping their pants right now because they didn't realize that stuff was still accessible. I'm sure most of them thought they deleted all that stuff. And you know how that is. Once something is in or on a hard drive on a server somewhere, you can forget it. It's out there forever. Somebody can probably find it, unless you're Hillary Clinton, in which case they will protect you and not allow you to find it. I guarantee it's still out there. Guarantee you the FBI had more information than they ever shared with us about what happened with our servers and everything else that happened there. Look at the Hunter Biden laptop. For years, the FBI told us it was part of an ongoing investigation, couldn't talk about it, or it was part of a Russian disinformation campaign. Had all the earmarks. Well, now apparently there's 51 subpoenas that have been issued to the 51 former intelligence agency operatives that signed off on a letter that said that they had all the earmarks of it. These guys have an out. This isn't going to help them at all. To have this hearing from Congress, that these subpoenas are going out. This is just grandstanding. It's all part of political theaters to act like they're trying to do something about it. Nobody's going to get prosecuted. There's not going to be any accountability here whatsoever. And that is the key. There has got to be accountability. Everybody keeps waiting for Trump to be perp walked. They keep every news, every headline that MSNBC or CNN or even NBC or CBS or ABC, they all put out these headlines constantly, consistently, that are continuously saying how, oh, Trump's about to go down. He's just about to go down for the last 6 years now. The walls are closing in, they're getting him, they're just about got him, they're going to get him on this, they're going to get him on that, and there's nothing there. You know, first it was the Mueller report, now it was, it's just one thing after another. You know, they get people around him all the time, which of course isolates him, makes people not want to participate in what he's doing. They're trying to drive the man crazy. They're the ones who are crazy. He comes out and says something and they say he's crazy, and then it comes to find out he was right. It's like the whole Hunter Biden laptop thing. If the Russians wanted to have a disinformation campaign, they probably would have had a lot better plausible thing to do than this whole make up a whole bunch of emails and pictures of Hunter Biden going around through the side door with that whole thing. They did a very poor job of it if it was Russian, first of all. I think if they wanted to eliminate Biden as a candidate, they would have probably done a lot more. There's more things they could have done with that. So the way this works out, there's no accountability to the FBI. That's the big problem we have right now, is who is or how are they going to call these people on the carpet, ask them questions, when you know all they're going to say is, well, we never said it was a Russian disinformation campaign. It just had all the earmarks. Now, the question will be, will there be enough people in Congress who have enough investigative ability or to the ability to ask some serious questions and say, what are the earmarks? Explain to us what the earmarks. Well, that's part of our methods and sources. We can't give that kind of information away. Bull, yes, you can. You can give us a general information that the public would understand that doesn't give away your sources or methods. And if they're going to say, well, it has to do with encrypted information and part of the coding, part of the algorithm, part of whatever, part of these, you know, forensic data behind it. Oh, but now we find out that forensic data apparently is no good because you're saying it had all the earmarks. However, it was not a Russian disinformation. It didn't come from Russia. So maybe your systems are faulty. What else has happened out there that you thought was Russian that wasn't Russian? Or that should have been detected as being Russian and wasn't detected as Russian? You guys are about as incompetent. See, unfortunately, I know there are competent people in the FBI and also probably in the CIA and the NSA. The problem is you have people at the top who are playing politics with all this information, putting their thumb on the scale, going directly to social media because it has a powerful impact on society, and telling them what to do with this, with the information. All I'm going to say is this is nefarious. It is election tampering. It is a high crime, in my opinion. I'm going to talk about an attack on democracy. We kept hearing about how if we elect Republicans, it's going to be, you know, we're going to lose our democracy, we're going to lose our democracy. All of a sudden, where'd that rhetoric go? That rhetoric's gone. They're not talking about that anymore. You know, anything they could say that would scare people before the election, that's all that mattered. Because the end justifies the means. I've always said this about every show I talk about this. With the leftists, the end justifies the means, and that's just the way it is. They don't care whether they have to lie, cheat, or steal. Doesn't matter as long as they get their way, because their way is the higher way. Their way is the only way. There's two ways of doing things. There's their way and the wrong way. If you've ever known somebody like that, that's very difficult to live with. It's very hard to work around people like that. We have so this is going on. In the meantime, they're vilifying. If you want to know what the left is going to say, they've passed this off as they're still talking about Trump and going after Trump. They're not even talking about the Hunter Biden laptop thing, the whole Twitter thing, and anything to do with Fauci. Elon Musk, of course, has this his pronouns. He came out recently and said his pronouns are prosecute/Fauci. Now this is a big statement for someone like Musk to make. Musk doesn't really get involved politically with things too much. He's trying to do what's right and what he knows to be truthful he lives in real world. This is a guy who comes out. His company builds electric cars. One of his companies build electric cars. One of the foremost electric car manufacturers in the world. And guess what? He comes out and says, we don't have the infrastructure right now to go completely electric. It's not practical. We have to continue to use our oil resources, our carbon resources, in order to get us into the next technology that will continue to make electric cars. Now, electric cars themselves are viable. It's the battery technology that we have to work on. There's not enough lithium, there's not enough cadmium and all the other things that they need to be mined, to be extracted, and you can't replace every car on the road right now, which is what that's also another thing that they want to do. They basically want to have car share programs. So no, you won't own a car anymore. So when Klaus Mueller comes on and says, you will own nothing and be happy. That's what you tell a slave. You don't own anything, but you're going to be happy whether you like it or not. It'd be so nice because you won't have to own anything. You'll just be happy. You know, just Instead, an app on your phone and a car shows up at your door and you just hop in and it takes you to where you want to go. Unless we say we don't want you to go there. For instance, say if there's a pandemic and we don't want you to travel. Well, you're not going anywhere now because you know, we have control of all the cars. Or we're going to send you to the doctor and have you get a shot. Or just show up. You just get in the car. The door's all locked and there's a doctor in there to give you the shot. Or maybe there's a shot that comes up through the seat, get you. You know what? It's kind of James Bond kind of stuff. But this is the kind of thing that these people think that they're justified in doing because they're saving the world. Actually, they're taking over the world. But they think they like to make you think that they're saving the world, according to them. It is a very disgusting thing to do. And the reason these people can sleep at night is because they think that they're the ones who are the high and mighty. They're the smart people. They're the social engineers. They're going to save all the dumb people. We're just going to be happy doing our jobs, the jobs that they assign us. And we won't have any needs, we won't have any wants, because you know, have all the stuff, all of our needs will be taken care of by the great state. Will be our provision, our provider and our provision. That's how they like to have it. This promise of a new world. There's no hunger. And they decide who the winners and losers are. That's the way that works. And the real reality of that is we're all losers. However, it's interesting. Some people are kind of jumping down. Even some people on the right are saying that Elon is, you know, that he's pulling this game where he's dripping this stuff out. Now, this is a strategy. And I don't, you know, I think Tim Pool was actually all upset. I'm not sure, he's not really a right-wing guy necessarily. He was all upset. Major podcaster guy, has a huge audience. Does some controversial interviews with people. He was upset that this whole drip thing. He's tired of it. He's like he's had it with the you know, Twitter really file release number 5 or whatever it is. Now we're on number 6 or whatever. However we're doing this. He doesn't like the fact that it comes out and it came out on a Saturday night. Now, I don't know that Elon Musk knows what day of the week it is. The guy works all the time, so I don't think he's looking at it as the news cycle. Put it out on a Saturday and nobody sees it kind of thing. He just puts it out as it's being done, as it's being compiled, put together. I think he's being very careful. He's having his team be very careful. He's not going through every email, every Twitter, but he's being informed about what's going on. I think he knows he's onto something here. He knows he's actually uncovered a huge, it is a conspiracy between the FBI, Twitter, and the Democratic Party. Democrat Party, the DNC, the Democratic National Committee. That's what's there. He sees what's going on here. Now, the left, if you want to know what the left is saying, all you have to do is listen to a couple of the commentators, the leftist commentators that they have on Fox News, and you'll know exactly where their talking points are. When I hear of an event coming out, I can almost tell you how the left is going to respond. Well, I can almost fill in the blanks for you. I can almost give them their talking points because I know them well enough now. This is Rush Limbaugh used to say, I know these people like the, you know, better than they know themselves. And I think there's some truth to that. Once you figure out what makes them, what motivates them, first of all, their motivation is mostly emotional motivation. They react like 12-year-olds, sometimes 7 or 8-year-olds. So if you understand that kind of psychology, you can figure them out pretty quickly. You can know where they're going to go, and exactly what they're trying to do is pass off this whole thing as being nothing. Corinne Jean-Pierre has come out and basically said that, you know, now Elon Musk is being dangerous. These dangerous attacks that he's committing against Fauci. All he's saying is Fauci needs to be prosecuted. Fauci committed crimes. He needs to be prosecuted. That's not a personal attack. Calling for someone's prosecution. You're not calling for his death. He's not calling for him to be lynched. He's simply saying this guy needs to be prosecuted. Now, at some point, I think Elon is going to connect the dots here and realize that this administration is completely tied to the Justice Department and that Merrick Garland is only the puppet of the administration right now. And I'm not going to say Joe Biden because Joe Biden doesn't run the administration right now. The leftists that are in charge of this thing have complete control of the Department of Justice. The only thing we have right now is a Congress, and of course this won't happen until January, we have a Congress that can start holding hearings and having investigations. The problem is Congress has no prosecutorial ability. They can pass something on to the Department of Justice and recommend prosecution. That doesn't mean they will do it, and they will not. I guarantee you, Merrick Garland is going to say, no, this is a kangaroo court, whatever you're going to say. This guy is a complete leftist hack with a complete vendetta on his shoulders. He's got a grudge chip on his shoulder from not being able to be on the Supreme Court. He should recuse himself just for that very reason alone. So, here we are with this thing that's coming out. Of course, now Jean-Pierre is basically saying, you know, she's trying to discredit Elon by saying that these personal attacks have got to stop. You know, these are almost criminal in what he's doing. And then you have the issue of not just that, but you also have the issue of people on the left basically passing this off as, and here's their, this is actually what they've been saying. Well, these documents that they're revealing really show that they really had a lot of trepidation about canceling President Trump. It's kind of reassuring that they didn't just do it flippantly. They just, you know, they took some deliberation and they weren't, you know, they took it seriously. You know, some of them had some issues with it. Oh, so somebody commits a heinous crime, and but they didn't feel good about it. They had some trepidation about it. They weren't sure about it, but they still went ahead and committed it anyway. They took a lot of deliberation. They had to think about it a lot. But they went ahead and did it. Well, okay, since you didn't feel good about doing it, but you did it, but you didn't feel good about doing it, then we're going to let you. That's okay. We can pass that off then. That's why. That's how ridiculous this is. And yes, frankly, this is an immoral crime, in my opinion. This is election tampering. This is when the FBI gets involved in telling social media what to do and with regard to throttling people in their free speech rights. They keep saying, well, Twitter's a private company. They can do whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. They were doing things at the behest of the FBI, at the behest of the DNC. This is where the crime was committed. Government agencies cannot hire anyone else, private companies, to do what's not legally allowed otherwise. They couldn't do themselves. In other words, they can't have an illegal search or seizure. They can't hire someone else like Blackwater to come in and do a legal search or seizure on U.S. citizens. It's not allowed. And that's what they've done. They had people from the FBI, former agents, former lawyers, former counsel, working at Twitter. Now, for those of you who don't know what Operation Mockingbird is, if you've never heard of it, you can go back. All you just type it in. You can find it. Probably it's hard to find on Google now, but it used to be a lot easier to find. They have throttled it. However, there's plenty of YouTube videos all documenting what happened. There was hearings, but it's not just a phony thing on YouTube. There's credibility here. It was actually, there were congressional hearings about Operation Mockingbird. It was the CIA operation, where the CIA was planting CIA agents in news media organizations, major news media organizations. And in some cases, the news media organizations knew who these plants were, and so in some cases they didn't. Sometimes there were people that they knew that were there, and there were other people that they didn't know was there. There were other agents working within. And they would plant stories, they would do things, they would use the media to manipulate society, to manipulate the narrative. They do this in other countries with impunity because they don't have any laws to deal with there. When Congress found out about this, they had hearings and they supposedly shut this thing down. We're shutting down Operation Mockingbird. Well, all they did was take the same issue, the same mechanics of that whole thing and just put it into different format, call it something else, much like what happened to Acorn back in, I think it was 2009, 2008, that around that timeline, Acorn was a major recipient of leftist-funded individuals, people like George Soros, people like that. And they were using Acorn as a way to get funding to other NGOs, non-government organizations, to fund things for the Democrat Party. It was a huge supporter of Planned Parenthood and abortion issues. Now, in the process of doing all that, you have to understand, they closed it down. They broke it up. It became, and this is their MO, their standard MO, is once it gets big enough to be recognized, then all they have to do is break it up into about, it got broken up into about 15 different organizations. Those 15 different organizations then became, very interestingly enough, they became a whole bunch of little things that nobody knew where they were anymore. They all divided up all their responsibilities, and then they just kind of fade off in the darkness. And now they're all small organizations that nobody can track, or that nobody, you know, thinks has any influence or significance. This is the way they do this. Now we have this situation where, fast forward to today, they're doing the same thing again. It's been absolutely ridiculous. So you're onto something. All they do is fade it off. They kind of pass it off, which is what they're doing now, passing off this whole thing as if it's something that just doesn't matter. But it does. Make no mistake, this is bigger than probably anything that's going on in Ukraine. This is a war for the political power in our country right now. And what they're doing behind the scenes with the power that they have. Now, I guarantee you, between now and January 15th or whenever congressmen are sworn in, they lose control of the Congress. It's hard to tell whether Kevin McCarthy is going to be able to pull together the Congress enough to get, to become the Speaker of the House. It's going to be an interesting war going on. But you got people on the left, of course, are attacking him right now. He's kind of their man, believe it or not. He's more of the establishment guy that they want to see get in there. But they also want to see dismay and discord among the right-wing party, as they would call it. So a lot of things stirring right now, and I'm not going to be able to go into too much more detail than that. I don't have a lot of clips this morning. I'm just doing this on my phone this morning. I may have some more time tomorrow. I'm hoping to have some time later today to kind of prepare for tomorrow's show. And tomorrow's show, there will not be a show, by the way, on Thursday. I'm getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning after going to bed about midnight. Getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'll be going to Dallas on a 6 o'clock flight. Get into Dallas. I won't have a whole lot of time to do a show unless I find a place to do a show in the afternoon on Thursday. However, Friday morning, I plan to do a show Friday morning. I'm going to be pretty beat, so there won't be a whole lot of preparation for that show. So just to let you know. In the meantime, I hope that you all have a wonderful day. It's a good day to have a good day. Today's a good day to have a good day. So just have a good day today. Just go ahead and do it just because I said so. And once again, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Continue to pray for the nation. Pray for this whole thing that's being exposed and for the things that are happening. The left is continuing to do their spin, do their thing, and it's just getting more and more disgusting all the time. But I digress. That's what we expect, because that's the left. God bless everybody. Have a great day.